Ladies and gentlemen, please once again put your hands together for Vaca Ligera.
Y a mí no me quema mamá, y a mí no me quema papá, no me quema nada, ni la candela ni el agua. Y una niña se embarcó en un barco para Cuba, en un barco para Cuba, una niña se embarcó. Con eso se enseñó. Y a mí no me quema mamá, no me quema papá, no me quema nada, ni la canela ni el agua. Y a mí no me quema mamá, no me quema papá, no me quema nada, ni la candela ni el agua. Y una niña se embarcó en un barco para Francia, en un barco para Francia, y una niña se embarcó. No me quema nada, ni la candela ni el agua. Y a mí no me quema mamá, no me quema papá, no me quema nada, ni la candela ni el agua.
Y a mí no me quema mamá, y a mí no me quema papá, y a mí no me quema nada,
ni la candela ni el agua
ras. ¡Hola, Alejandros! ¡Elisa Rega!
¡Pedro Weber! ¡Vaca Liguera! Well, now we'd like to invite up members of the Lit Moon Theater Company, and they are producing a version of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
The very one.
And is it at the...
Porter Theater.
It's at what?
Porter Theater.
It's at Porter Theater at Westmont College, and it opens next week.
Yes? 18th.
The 18th.
18th, 19th, and 20th.
So we have Stan Hoffman and Vicky Finlayson and Jim Connolly.
Jack O'Connell.
They're just puppets.
Instantly, Scrooge's entire room, the fire, the ruddy glow, and the hour of night, all of it vanished. And there they stood in the city streets on Christmas morning, where the people were scraping the recent snow from in front and from the tops of their dwellings. The house fronts looked black enough, and the windows blacker, contrasting with the smooth white sheet of snow upon the roofs. The sky was gloomy, and the shortest streets were choked up with a dingy mist. There was nothing very cheerful in the climate or the town, and yet there was an air of cheerfulness abroad that the clearest summer air and the brightest summer sun might have endeavored to diffuse in vain.
The people shoveling away on the housetops were jovial and full of glee, calling out to one another from the parapets, and now and then exchanging a facetious snowball. Better-natured missile far than many a wordy jest, laughing heartily when it went right, and not less heartily when it went wrong. The poulterers' shops were still half open, and the fruiterers were radiant in their glory. There were round, pot-bellied baskets of chestnuts, ruddy, brown-faced, broad-girthed Spanish onions, and apples, and grapes, and piles of filberts, and oranges, and lemons, and juicy pears.
The grocers, nearly closed, with perhaps two shutters down or one, but through the gaps, such glimpses, scents of tea and coffee, almonds and candied fruits, sticks of cinnamon and moist, plumpy figs. Everything was good to eat and in its Christmas dress. They traveled on invisibly, Scrooge in the spirit, into the suburbs of the town, landing silently at the dwelling of Bob Cratchit, Scrooge's clerk. Up rose Mrs. Cratchit, dressed out but poorly in a twice-turned gown, but brave in ribbons, which are cheap and make a goodly show for sixpence.
Mother, we smelled our goose. We smelled it.
We
went by the baker's house and we smelled it. We knew it was ours. It smelled so good, Mother.
Peter!
Is it time? Come eat it, Mother, come eat it.
Peter! Get the potatoes, Peter.
Yes, Mother. All right, Mother.
Where is your father, children? And little Tim? And where is Martha? She wasn't this late last year, late by half an hour.
There's Martha. Martha! We smelled our goose. We smelled it. It smelled so good.
Why, bless your heart alive, my dear. How late you are. We had such a lot of work to do last night, Mother, and clear away this morning. Well, never mind. So long as you are here, I'll sit down by the fire and warm up. Lord bless you.
His father! Martha, hi!
Hi, Martha!
Hello, everybody. Where's Martha?
Not coming?
On Christmas Day?
I'm here, Father. Oh. Just kidding, Father. And how did the little Tim behave, Father?
As good as gold. Even better. You know, somehow, He gets to thinking, sitting by himself so much, and he thinks the strangest things you ever heard. He said to me, coming home, that he hoped the people in the church saw him because he was a cripple, and he thought it might be pleasant to them on Christmas Day to remember who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Is it time? Is it time?
Is it time, Mother? Mother?
Is it time, Mother?
Can we
eat? Is it time, Mother? Is it time? Yes, yes, it's time!
Oh, such a goose.
There's never been such a goose.
I'm hungry. Let's eat.
And let me have the sauce.
I want the applesauce. It's mine. I want it.
I was a little worried about the pudding.
I like the mashed potatoes.
Such a goose.
Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless us. God bless us, everyone. If you want to see how it ends, you have to come see the show.
So, just thought I'd share this with you, that there are so many reasons that I hate Christmas. It's stupid, it sucks, it's lame, it's bullshit, but I feel so much of it can be traced back to the fourth grade at Martha Jones Elementary School in Westwood, Massachusetts. I grew up in Westwood. It was a picturesque suburb about 40 miles south of Boston, with nice homes and rolling lawns. We would ride our bikes down to the IGA store for candy and comics after school. There was a pond you could go fishing in. My house was right up against some woods, and in those woods was a stream where we played for hours. I hated it. I always felt like an outsider there. Perhaps it was that I was artsy, or maybe I wasn't into sports, and Westwood loved sports. One of my neighbors was the star of the high school basketball team, and he got a full ride to a big college because of it. So when he broke into the school one night and a janitor found him urinating in the hall and then the kid beat the janitor up, it didn't get in the way of him playing for the team. It wasn't even reported, so his scholarship was never in jeopardy. Perhaps I should have tried harder at sports or at breaking into schools and peeing in hallways or janitor beating. Or maybe it was that I was one of the few Jewish kids in a largely anti-Semitic town, and the kids would playfully call me Jew boy or kike right before they punched me. It could have been any of those things, but I trace a lot of this hatred to a Mexican reindeer named Pablo. Now, Pablo isn't an actual reindeer. He's the star of a song that we sang for our fourth grade Christmas recital at Martha Jones Elementary School. The song tells you what happens when Santa gets to Mexico. So this is a song that everyone in the fourth grade sang as part of the recital, and I say everyone, but that's not true. It was everyone but me, because apparently I didn't possess a good enough voice and couldn't hit the high notes on this genius piece of songwriting, so my chorus teacher told me to mouth the words as the rest of my classmates got to sing it at full volume. Now, to be fair, the teacher was very subtle about this. She didn't announce it in front of the class. No, no, no. She had the consideration and good teacher skills to walk over to me, bend down, and whisper it in my ear in front of the rest of the class. As if no one in the class would know what she was telling me. I'm sure they thought, oh, our chorus teacher must be making plans with Michael for after school. Perhaps other students thought she and I were sharing recipes. And by the way, so fucking what if I sang off key? It's a fourth grade Christmas recital. It's going to suck no matter what you do. And by the way, also answer me, in a class that's 99% white Irish Catholic, and the remaining three of us are Jewish, there was time to sing about Pablo, but we couldn't get one fucking Hanukkah song. But the night came, and there I stood, all dressed up in my fancy clothes so my parents could come down to the cafetorium and beam with pride at their son's lip-syncing skills as the rest of the class serenaded them with these genius lyrics. When Santa goes to Mexico, he takes a reindeer called Pablo. If I could just take a second to point out that Mexico and Pablo do not rhyme. Pablo can sing and dance and sway. He leads the reindeer all the way. Santa can't speak, the Espanol. So he depends on good old Paul. Now, it seems that Santa needs Pablo to help him navigate the chimenea in Las Casas, because Santa himself can't speak the Espanol. Also, we are now three couplets into the song and only one of them actually rhymes. I'm just saying. All the muchachos love him so. Pablo, the reindeer from Mexico. So let's just break this down for a second, shall we? Santa does not speak Spanish, so he needs a Spanish-speaking Mexican reindeer for assistance in Mexico. I guess that makes sense, except for the fact that Santa doesn't seem to need a Swedish reindeer for Sweden. There's no Russian reindeer for Russia. Plus, Mexico is not the only country where Spanish is spoken. What happens when he gets to Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Venezuela, or I don't know, Spain? The song continues. Without him, Santa would not know where he is going. Ay, 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 ay. Without him, he would not know if it is snowing. South of the border? So do you really expect me to believe that Santa needs a Mexican reindeer so he can tell when it's snowing? He lives in the North Pole. I think he fucking knows when it's fucking snowing. And why does Santa need a Mexican reindeer to know where he's going in Mexico? Is Mexico the one country so screwed up that Santa can't navigate it on his own? Isn't that racist? To continue. Pablo can do the cha-cha-cha. He makes the children laugh. Ha ha. Isn't that a riot? The only ethnic reindeer on the team just so happens to be a good dancer and a bit of a clown. So all the kids laugh at him as he shucks and jives for Santa. And then it wraps up with all the muchachos shout, "Olé, Pablo, please hurry back," they say. This is important. Hurry back. Hurry back. So clearly Pablo does not live in Mexico where he wouldn't have to hurry back. He must live in the North Pole. So what, Santa just sends him home once they hit the border? Basically, see, what's happening here is that Santa trots the ESL reindeer out in the one country he feels uncomfortable in and never took the time to learn the language. And then, hey, look, Mexican reindeer, everybody, great. Oh, it's Belize. Nice work, Pablo. They don't need you anymore because I'm no longer in Mexico. Why don't you just run on back to the North Pole? By the way, Mrs. Claus's garden could use a trim because she's left out some clothes we don't need anymore that you can give to your kids. Now that we're out of gang lord territory, I can hand it back to the real team. Oh, don't get sentimental on me. Where were the other reindeer in all of this? Right? We already know that reindeer, by their nature, are huge dick bags. Look at how they alienated Rudolph because of his red nose. What would have happened if Rudolph's nose didn't light up or there never was the giant snowstorm that almost canceled Christmas? What would have happened to Rudolph then? You want to know what would happen? Ask Pablo. He'll answer you as soon as he gets a break from his second job as a busboy at the North Pole Chili's. This is a horrible song. I suppose I should be thankful that the teacher gave me a pass on singing it, but I'm not. I'm still pissed. And I wish I could remember that chorus teacher's name. If I did, I could name a really stupid character in a script after her and then have that script get really famous. So all of her friends would be like, "Look, you have the same name as that incredibly bitchy, stupid lady in that amazing movie by that hot writer that everyone wants to sleep with." But I can't remember her name. You can't find it on the Martha Jones website because, yes, I did go there and try to find out. And you know, if she was, say, like 35 when she taught me, she's probably 75 years old now and doesn't go see amazing scripted things, so it wouldn't mean anything to her if I did use her name. I could probably go try to find her and beat her up, then she'd learn. I could probably take her if she's 75. But even then, she'd probably be just like, "It was one song 40 years ago, you're really not over that yet? What the fuck is wrong with you?" And then while I tried to come up with an answer that didn't make me sound incredibly weak and embarrassing, she'd probably sucker punch me in the face. And then I'd start crying, and then she'd lean in with this really evil look on her face and say, "Why don't you just lip sync that crying?" And then I'd have to suffer even more shame at the hands of this woman whose name I can't even remember. So I can't blame the woman. She might be dead. I'm still afraid of her. I could blame the kids who beat me up, but I don't want to give them the satisfaction of knowing that they still have an effect on me. Thank goodness no one listens to this podcast. So I think my best bet is just go ahead and blame Pablo the reindeer from Mexico. unless that makes me racist. So I have no other choice than to love Christmas, which I guess is Pablo's final revenge on me. Feliz Navidad, everybody.
I'll also add that Michael is the writer of all of our radio dramas as well, which we don't often take the time to say. So.
Here's the spirit of hating Christmas. This song has become a
tradition on our Christmas showdown episodes. Song by Shane McGowan.
It was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank, an old man said to me, I won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old Mountain Dew. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true. They got cars big as bars, they've got rivers of gold, but the wind flows right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome, you were pretty, queen of New York City. When the band started playing, they called out for more. Sinatra was singing, all the bums they were swinging. We kissed on the corner and danced through the night. The boys from the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out our Christmas Day. You're a bum, you're a punk, you're an old slut on junk. Lying there all half dead with a drip in that bed. You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap lousy faggot. Merry Christmas, my arse, thank God it's our last. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. I love you, baby, can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. I could have been someone.
So could anyone.
You took my dreams from me when I first found you. I kept them with me, babe. I kept them with my own. Don't leave me all alone. I built my dreams around you. The boys in the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. I love you, baby, can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. I built my dreams around you. I built my dreams around you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, the Impromptu Band. Unencumbered by the rehearsal process.
Semi-professional singer Cal Nick Lieberman stumbled into the Christmas song. His life turned around, and he became...
Good evening, everyone. I'm Cal McChristmas.
But fame took its toll on his family and his life.
Honey, we never see you anymore.
Mommy tells me you're my daddy, but I don't know what that is.
So Cal got a new family and became the star of his own TV show until it was canceled. And now, with no career and no family, he lives on the street where rats are throwing things at him.
Fuck you! Fuck
ow!
You,
ow! You. Stop throwing things at me!
You're in a spot. That's where Stu likes to sleep.
I'm sorry, I'll move over.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
You're welcome?
Actually, he said, go fuck yourself.
Oh, okay, so you speak rat?
Yeah, you spend enough time in these alleys, you get to know things.
Huh, I'm Cal.
Oh, I know who you are.
Do you recognize me from back when I was famous?
Cal, that fame stuff you're so obsessed with, it doesn't mean anything. Take away all the fame and all the money, and where are you?
Here, broke, in an alley, getting told off by a rat.
Yeah, but if you focused on the people who loved you...
The only people who really loved me were my wife and son. My real wife and son, but they left me.
Why did they do that?
Because I dumped them and put my career over them. I thought I was Mr. Christmas.
And what's Christmas really all about?
I don't even know anymore.
It's like that song goes... Christmas time is family time. Family time means Christmas. Christmas time is together time.
Oh my God, you're right. I've been singing it for years, but never really listened to what the words mean. I know what I have to do now. I have to get my family back. I have to fix what I've destroyed. Thank you, crazy bum. Hey.
And when Cal turned around to thank the bum who gave him advice, there was no one there.
Where did he go? Could he have been a specter sent down to help me rediscover the true meaning of Christmas?
And so Cal headed back to his old neighborhood, his old home.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Cal.
Oh, hey, my old next-door neighbor, Letitia. Have you seen my wife and son?
They moved away, Cal. Now, some say this house is haunted. Haunted.
Who says that?
Mostly just me.
Well, can you tell me where they moved to?
No one knows, Cal. They just disappeared in the middle of the night. Where to? No one knows. No one knows!
Oh, wait, look, there's a note right here in the mailbox with a forwarding address.
Oh, well, what do you know? I guess they do know where they went. Huh, how did I miss that?
There's also the names of the new owners who have moved in.
I guess the house isn't deserted.
Oh, and look, here's a certificate signed by the cast of Ghost Hunters certifying that the house is not haunted.
Fine, I made it all up just to get some attention.
I gotta go.
I never liked you, Cal.
And so, armed with a new sense of purpose and an address, Cal went to reclaim the life he once had.
Oh, this is it. It's funny, there's no Christmas decorations in the windows. I wonder why...
You looking for Rabbi Shmulevitz?
What?
The rabbi. He won't be home. It's Hanukkah. He's at temple.
Sorry, I must have the wrong house. I was looking for Mona.
Oh, yeah, the rabbi's new fiancée. She's great.
She's marrying a rabbi? But she's not...
Who would have thought that a rabbi would meet the love of his life at a convert to Judaism class?
What? But where's this temple?
Oh, it's just down the street.
And so, Cal took off running. Running to get his wife and son back. Running to get Christmas back. Until finally, he made it to the temple.
Shalom.
Don't come at me with your crazy talk. Where's the rabbi?
He's just through those glass doors in the synagogue about to get married. You're welcome to go in, but first, please put on this yarmulke as a sign of respect for God.
Oh, sure. That way you get your anti-Christmas messages into my brain.
I'm sorry?
I'm not wearing one of your crazy mind-controlled beanies.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And that's when Cal looks through the glass doors. He saw his wife on the bima next to the rabbi and could just hear...
Mona! Mona!
And everyone turned to look at the madman banging on the glass, and you could see that they were yelling swear words.
Mona!
Yes, it was totally exactly like that Watershed movie by that amazing director who just died. And yes, this is an obvious homage, but it's my fucking show, and I'll do what I want.
Mona!
Except unlike the movie, that person who was incredibly angry, in this story, was a woman Cal was screaming for. And even though you can't hear what Lil Cal was saying, I'm almost positive it was this.
Go fuck yourself, you fucking shitbag loser! How many different ways can you ruin my life?
And here comes the object of Cal's affection streaming down the aisle. She's heading towards the door. Could this be it? Could Cal finally be getting his life back together?
Cal, what the fuck? I'm getting married and celebrating Hanukkah here.
Hanukkah, but that's for Jews.
Yeah, that's right, Cal. I'm Jewish now, too.
What about little Cal?
I pronounce it little Ha.
You made me hate Christmas so much. I'm doing everything I can to get as far away from it as I possibly can. I hate you, and I hate Christmas.
But I'm supposed to win you back.
Says who?
A bum I met who I think is Jesus.
Cal, I want you to meet my fiancé, Hiram Shmulevitz.
Shalom. Welcome. You're interrupting my wedding.
This is the guy you're marrying?
Yes, Cal, I love him. I'm marrying him. If you want, you can come in and be part of the celebration of our love.
It would be a mitzvah.
No, no, you're supposed to get back together with me. And then we're going to rediscover the true meaning of Christmas. It's how I get my life back, my career back. Hobo Jesus told me.
That's all this is? One more thing for your stupid Christmas career? Get the hell out of here, Cal.
But...
You heard the lady. She would like for you to leave the premises.
Oh, what the hell are you going to do, Hanukkah Harry? You going to kick me out of your little temple?
That is something I would not do.
Ha!
But I would happily have temple security do it.
Huh?
Mazel. Tov. Kick this goyish a piece of trafe to the curb.
Don't touch me. Don't. What are you doing? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm keeping the little hat. It has writing in it. I'm going to read your secret Jew God beanie writing for Jews. Let's see. Souvenir of the wedding of Rabbi Shmulevitz to the love of his life, Mona. Okay, maybe I'm not going to keep it. I'm just going to throw it into the street. Oh, okay. The wind blowing it right back into my face is not a sign.
Humiliated, Cal went back to the mean streets of the city and once again degraded himself for spare change.
Spare change?
Suck my dick, loser.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No. I was telling you to go away.
Well, you really should be more precise with your language then.
Seriously? I'm going to beat you up.
It's Christmas Eve.
Consider it a gift.
Go ahead.
Ow. Ow.
And ow. After letting a drunken stranger give the gift of a Christmas beating, Cal once again found himself sleeping in a dumpster amidst the filth and the rats.
This doesn't look so bad. I'll move over.
Hey, my buddy, where'd you go?
Where did I go? I did what you told me. I tried to get my wife back.
I told you to do that?
Yes, I thought you were some kind of mystical messenger.
I'm a homeless, crazy person. Why the hell would you listen to me?
You sang my song and told me about my life, and then you disappeared. I took your advice.
Oh.
Yeah, my song, Christmas Time is Family Time, and Family Time Means Christmas.
Holy crap, that's you? I had no idea. It's the only song I know by heart.
Well, then you disappeared.
Well, there was a sandwich under the dumpster. I wanted to get it before stew. Sorry, buddy, but when you're homeless, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Wait, all right. So just to be clear, you're not Jesus or some Christmas angel sent to help me discover the true meaning of the holiday and find joy in my life again?
Dude, just to be clear, I'm a bum. Who hasn't brushed his teeth and wiped his ass for over 20 years. And the only joy I have in life is making out with Stew the Rat. It's one of his joys, too.
I guess it really is over. I guess I live here now for real.
Listen, Stu and I have been talking. We want to take our relationship to the next level. We're getting married.
Well, that's great.
So, would you be my best man?
Sure.
And then you'd have to find another place to live.
What?
I'm starting a new life here. I can't have a roommate when I'm married.
This is a dumpster.
It's precisely that negativity that I can't be around. You have to move out right after the wedding.
Okay.
Oh, and we're registered at the dumpster behind the mall.
And so, after a touchingly beautiful ceremony, the couple have written their own vows.
Stu, would you like to go first?
Aww.
Cal was forced to leave the alley. Truly on his own now, Cal wandered the mean streets until he realized there was only one option left.
I'm going to have to kill myself.
Cal made his way down to the docks, found a great cement block, and tied it to his leg.
This is it. I couldn't get any lower.
He started to push the cement block into the water when he noticed a speedboat.
Hey, let's use our expensive speedboat to splash that drunken bum with water.
Oh my God! The force of that water splashing all over that bum knocked all his gloves off!
That drunken bum has a really small penis. Let me take pictures for my blog.
Well, I guess there is somewhere lower to go.
Wait, that naked bum looks like...
I recognize that penis! Could it be?
Is that my former TV dad? This is gonna get me so many hits.
But pull up to the dock!
Cal, baby, where you been?
Morty, I've been homeless, living on the streets.
That's great, baby.
It's actually not that great.
Fabulous.
What are you guys doing?
We've been looking for you, Cal, baby.
You're on a speedboat in the ocean. Where did you think I was?
It's a strange and beautiful world, baby.
What do you want?
I'd like you to put a towel around your waist. No 8-year-old needs to see that.
Here's my scarf, sweetie. You don't need anything bigger than that.
Thank you.
Listen, Bobby, Hallmark is putting together an all-Christmas channel. The whole thing is sponsored by Walmart, and they want you to be the face of the channel.
You know what I've learned, Morty? That the commercialization of Christmas is one of the worst things to ever happen to mankind. We have all lost touch with what makes the holiday special. Even if you're not religious and don't want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, or perhaps you're aware that scholars pin the date of his birth at some time in the spring, and that the only reason December 25th was chosen was to co-opt the pagans who were celebrating the solstice. Even if you know that the story of Santa Claus begins in what is now the southern coast of Turkey, where a young orphan named Nicholas gave away all his money to help the sick and the poor, and then became a bishop renowned for his love of children, a man whose generosity to people in need was legendary, that he paid for that generosity and devotion by being imprisoned and exiled by the Roman Empire, but he never lost his faith. You don't have to be a religious man to let the true story of St. Nicholas inspire you to celebrate the end of one year and the beginning of another by helping out those who have had a harder time than you. We can all turn our backs on the crass commercialization and use this time to be better people. It doesn't matter what religion you are or whether or not you even believe in God to be inspired to do that. That's who I am now.
Yeah, baby. They're guaranteeing 5 years at $2 million a year, provided you do the commercials for Walmart and you remarry your TV wife.
Huh.
And so...
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Christmas Channel, where we celebrate the beauty of the holiday every single day of the year.
Merry Christmas, honey.
Merry Christmas to you, sweetheart.
But it's only April.
Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, nothing says Christmas to our family year-round more than this lovely backyard fountain display of Santa, Jesus, and God giving each other Christmas presents.
It's such a beautiful way to remind us of the Christmas season all year long.
And the water's filtered so I can drink right out of the fountain.
That's right, son. You know what looking at this fountain makes me want to do?
What's that, honey?
Christmas time is family time. Family time means Christmas. Christmas time is together time. Together time at Christmas. Mistletoe and snowmen too.
presents and a tree, eggnog lights and cocoa, eggnog lights and cocoa, eggnog lights and cocoa. Christmas, 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 Christmas.
So Cal found his true peace and the true meaning of Christmas thanks to a television station willing to pay him to celebrate the season all year long. And as you gather with your friends and loved ones this year, I hope you all can take some time to reflect on what Christmas really means to you. To all of us here at the Proboscis Radio Hour, Christmas means something very special. And I would tell you what it is, but we're all out of time.
Oh!
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks so much for coming, too. Live from the Piano Kitchen.
All right. Let's give it up to all our guests. Let's hear it for Baca Lagoon. The Lynn Moon Theater Company.
Mitchell Freeman.
And the Proboscis Radio Player.